Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career, and trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. My guest today has always had a passion to be around people, and she is energized by nurturing and supporting others to become their very best self. She views the world with compassion and empathy, and she uses her natural reasoning and cognitive thinking skills to develop strategies and approaches that facilitate positive growth in others. After working in the corporate world for almost three decades, she changed the direction of her journey in 2014 to make a more positive impact in the world. She has her BA in psychology, and she is a certified emotional intelligence coach and core values index practitioner. As the owner and president of BOY Destiny, she provides EQ coaching to individuals and teams, and she is a speaker, facilitator, and presenter at retreats, workshops, and national webinars on emotional intelligence and related topics. She is the founder and president of the Flutter Foundation, Incorporated, a nonprofit that supports social and emotional learning programs for youth in Connecticut. She is a global mentor coordinator for 6 Seconds pop-up festivals, which are celebrations of World Children's Day, bringing emotional intelligence awareness and resources to children and the adults who support them. She is also the co-host of The Weekly Pause, a podcast discussing emotional intelligence and related topics. In other words, she is active in helping people live better lives. Her name is Paige Dest, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. Paige, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bobby. I tell you, it's definitely a privilege.
Well, I've been looking forward to this because, you know, we've known each other for a few months now.
Quite a while. Yeah, I believe so. Actually, I think probably at least maybe about 6 months.
Yeah. It feels like I've known you longer, though.
I agree.
For some reason. So thanks for joining us. Why don't you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
All righty. Well, I have my degree in psychology because actually way back when I was going to be a Christian counselor.
Really?
So yeah, so I have that. And then as life happened, you know, I went into banking to earn money to get my graduate degree.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's where I stayed for about 30 years. Was in banking. So I had a good, you know, solid career in that. And I loved it. I loved working with the people. I was really good at what I did. And the bank had sent me to a graduate school of banking at UPenn. Mm. And I learned about emotional intelligence. And at the time, I had a few emotional struggles. So I thought, well, you know what? This is a really interesting thing. This is, you know, to have these skills that you can understand and manage your emotions in order to make better choices for behavior. That's like too cool. So I got a coach and I went through the coaching and it made such a huge difference in my life. And I said, you know what? That's where I want to be. I want to be able to make an impact in people's life and share these skills with them. So after a couple of years, you know, and you have to kind of plan the transition, I became certified and I'm now an emotional intelligence coach. And I do facilitations, I do workshops, I do retreats. I love it. I love being able to make an impact with people. And I love being where I am. And along the way, I also found that personal power along my life. And I'm able to use both of them in this career. So how cool is that, Bobby?
It's amazing. And they're obviously, you know, intertwined. Right. So what was the most, or, you know, and it doesn't have to be just one thing, but what, you know, one or two things, three things. What was, had the most impact for you when you were going through that program and you were being coached?
One question he would always ask me if I said, well, you know, this will happen. He would always say, so what? Mm. And I'd say, but then this may happen. And he'd say, so what? And it got me thinking that a lot of my fear, a lot of my thoughts drove around what I thought would happen or what I was scared would happen. And then, you know, I build this whole big story in my head of, oh my gosh, you know, then this would just be like the most traumatic thing ever in life. Right?
Yep.
And again, and that's one of the things in emotional intelligence that I've worked, you know, one of the skills that I work, the programs, exercises is looking at the perspective. What would happen if? What would happen if? And what would you do if that? You know, and part of that does come back to the personal power because you realize you can face any challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that confidence and you can face a challenge. And even if you're not on top of that challenge, one thing I always like to say, and I do live my life in this way, is you win some or you learn some, right? Because even if you're not on top of that challenge, you're learning. And that is always something that you can put into your toolkit and use when you need to.
That's right. Right.
So I think to me, that was, I always remember that. And that stood out to me a lot was, you know, stop and think about what you're going to do next, what your choice is going to be. And what choices do you have? And what if each of those choices? And looking at the realistic picture.
Yeah. So there's so much good stuff in there. I love the, so what?
Right.
Because if you ask that enough times, usually you get down to, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's not maybe really that bad.
Exactly. And that's really what he did. He just, okay. And so what? And so what, you know, and that's really a lot of it came down to that. And that's a lot too with emotional intelligence is what really is that emotion about?
Yeah.
What's driving that? And you have the power not to let it get too big, because it's when it gets too big that we tend to say things or do things that we think later that, oh, I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. And it's because we're letting the emotion get too big.
Yeah.
You know, or we're worrying about something that just it's not that big a deal. You know, in hindsight, you know, think of what it's going to be in 6 months. How do you want to remember yourself acting in this moment?
Yep. I love that framing of it. I had, this was, oh my God, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I had a client, corporate client, and it was just a difficult phase with them. They had a lot of internal stuff and a lot of fighting going on there, which just made it super unpleasant, you know, and it was kind of tough to work through. And I remember I got all worked up about it and, you know, because once you get on that, once your mind starts spinning on it, oh my goodness gracious, right?
Yes.
And I remember I was losing sleep and blah, blah, blah. And Rick was driving me to the airport because I was getting on my way to fly out there. And I remember saying, wait a minute, is this something I'm going to even remember 5 years from now?
Right.
And is it worth losing my health over? And the answer to both of those, no, it's not. But sometimes we get in that spiral where it's like, we almost can't break free from it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Exactly.
So how could someone break free from that?
Well, there are different things. You really have to, first of all, be intentional about your thoughts. You have to be, first of all, aware that there is an issue.
Yep.
So awareness really is that first step.
Yeah.
And then you need to be intentional about looking at that situation and putting it in perspective. How important is this? And if it's very important, what do I want that outcome to be? And therefore, what choices do I have?
Yeah. What outcome do I want? I love that.
Right. What outcome do I want? And therefore, what choices do I have? Because again, if you're dealing with a situation, if you're dealing with other people, you can only control yourself. You can influence others.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, they're going to do and be who they are. And that's a beautiful thing because all people make this beautiful world.
That's right.
The rainbow wouldn't look as gorgeous if it was all one color, right?
That's right.
So understanding that and embracing their differences. And as you and I know, Bobby, saying what I like about what they're saying is this.
Yeah.
But what is it I want? Where? How can I use that to create a connection to get to what is most favorable for me in that situation? And I'm saying that gently because obviously you want to be caring of everyone. But at the end of the day, again, you only control yourself. You're responsible for your behavior.
That's right. That is the thing you control.
Right.
And
exactly.
Rick and I have talked about this. He was talking about when he was fresh out of college, he was in his boss's office or something. And the boss had a sign on the wall that said something like, you get to control your reaction or something like that. And yeah. Rick's like, man, it blew my mind. You know, because when you're 23, 24, it does. But it's true.
It's like a secret to life, right?
It's
like,
is. Wowee. You know, and I think it was Stephen Covey who talked about it. What? We've got that pause, the space mm-hmm. between right. an event and our response.
Right.
And we get to choose.
That pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That pause is powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
but you have to be aware that yep. you need to take that pause and you have to be intentional what you are doing during that pause.
Yeah.
You know, not just, you know, don't just take a breath and go, okay, I'm going to breathe 5 seconds and then you just wait till what comes out of my mouth. Right. No, during those 5 breaths or whatever, I need to run through this process cognitively. And that's what's tough when you're dealing with your emotions is being reaching to the cognitive. But in the way that the brain is, you can get stuck in that midbrain, in that emotional brain. But by naming your emotion and intentionally thinking through the situation, your choices, you're forcing yourself to use the cognitive part of your brain.
Interesting.
You know, so yeah. that's the most beneficial thing you can do in that moment of pause.
Okay. So I love that. And I've got a question in a second, but when you were talking about that, when you said, don't just take the 5 deep breaths or
right.
5 seconds,
right.
just wait. I was thinking, oh, you're describing a coworker I used to have back in the 90s. And she would just go ballistic on people. And when people like confronted her with that, like, hey, is that really appropriate? She's like, well, that's just who I am. And I always thought, no, it's who you're choosing
no.
to be.
100% Bobby. That is who she is choosing to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not very self-aware.
Oh, no.
She was. Well, she thinks she is, bless her little heart. But,
Or maybe she's happy with it. You know, I don't know. But it's like, who are you? And I had that issue too. I don't know if I ever shared this, but, you know, my mom, because, you know, she had some psychological issues, she could be wonderful. And yet, man, if she got upset with you, it was yeah. nasty. And that's what I learned. And at a point, that's how I learned to communicate. And as right. in my early right. 20s, and I'm like, I just had this moment of clarity. Like, is this who I want to be? Am I communicating in a way that's truly expressing who I believe myself to be in my right. heart? And it right. was like, no, you're not. So yeah. you need to learn something. So now yeah. my question related to that whole, you know, the cognitive piece of it.
Okay.
Can you walk us through like an example so that the listener can really kind of, you know, see this for how okay. maybe they could use it for themselves?
Certainly. There's one that I often use in workshops, because it's something everybody can relate to, is road rage.
Oh, God, right? Yes.
So you're tootling down the road and a car pulls right out in front of you and you have to slam on your brakes, right? Mm-hmm. Your body gets going, your heart starts racing, you're almost shaking and you're so angry and you may want to say a couple potty words, right? Look around the car, make sure nobody's with you before you open your mouth, right? But that's because your body and your brain is saying, oh my gosh, I could have just died.
Yeah.
This person pulled out in front of me. I could have crashed. I could have, would have, you know, this could happen. That could happen. And so you're shaking. And the more that you think about it, you get angry. And if you continue mm-hmm. that rage, you say, oh, I'm going to get this guy. Yeah, I'm going to pass him and I'm just going to give him my finger and blah, blah, blah. You're allowing yourself to let that emotion grow. But as we mm-hmm. know, and there's research on this out there, but emotions only last about 4 to 7 seconds. So you do have that power to say, to stop, you know, it happens. You get angry that, you know, that's just a biological, you know, mm-hmm. defense that happens. And that's okay.
That's okay.
But then you can stop and say, oh my gosh, that guy just scared me to death. I am really scared. And you name that emotion. I'm scared and I'm very angry. And, you know, but then you need to realize, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm angry. He pulled in front of me, but I am okay. Assess that situation. Look at, again, look at the perspective. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the car is okay. I have some choices. I'm still angry, but I have choices. Yeah. And what is going to be the better outcome? I can pull over and just breathe for a while till my body calms down. I can slow down and just let him just go on his way. You don't know what he's dealing with. Maybe he's on the way to an emergency.
That's right.
You know, maybe somebody in his, and he just doesn't have his flashes on. Maybe somebody in his family just got in a wreck, is horribly at the hospital, and he just needs to get there. So you can have empathy with the other person. Get in the other lane. And when you do that, you're going to start to slow down your body senses. You still may be, you know, having a little bit of the anger, but you will slow it down. And then you can realize, you know, actually, I'm grateful because I am safe. You know, I'm thankful that I'm not in a rush like he is, or, you know, in moody like he is, whatever it be. And again, having a little bit of empathy and saying, you know what, though, I don't know what his situation is. So I just need to back off, you know. So that's exactly how that whole process would go. Because again, when you say your emotion, you're having to think about what it is you're feeling to name that emotion. So you're bringing it to that cognitive. When you say, I'm okay, you're putting it in perspective. And then you're looking at choices. And again, you're being cognitive and intentional about what choice you want to make.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good example, because most everybody has road rage every once in a while. I do too, Bobby, but don't tell your listeners.
I've never had an issue with it. But it is like when someone cuts you off, it's such an instinctive response. So what I heard
there. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why.
What, one of the things I heard there, and maybe I'm interpreting this wrong or understanding it wrong. It seems like by naming the emotion, it slows the emotion down.
Yes. That's one of the first things. If you talk with an emotional intelligence coach or somebody that knows emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
One of the first things is to name it. And they have, there's a phrase, and I apologize because I forget who came up with this phrase, but name it to tame it.
Yeah. I've heard that and I don't know who said it either. But it's, you know, there's a lot of truth in that.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? So that, again, you can, you know, you say, oh, I'm scared. That guy scared me.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm, and now I'm angry.
Right.
But again, there you have to take that cognitive stance and stop.
And stop it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you do have the power. People say you don't, but guess what? You do.
You do. And now, okay. So two things come to mind there. And you said this. That initial response of anger, like, man, that upsets me that he cut me off, or, you know, that he could have hurt us.
Right.
There. Have you ever read the book of anger, The Dance of Anger?
No.
Oh, it's a good book.
I'll have to mark that down. Dance of Anger.
It's Harriet somebody. I can't remember her last name right now, but it's a great book. And she talks about how anger is a valid emotion.
Definitely. Every emotion has purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay. And I think so many people, and because you've done a lot of this coaching, so I've had people say to me, yeah, but I should never feel anger.
That's not true.
Because it's telling you, it's a data point, right?
Yes, exactly. And anger, if you look at the definition and the purpose of each of these, there's Pluchek's emotional wheel.
That's right.
Wheel of emotions. If you look at that, and it will tell you, you know, the different purposes. With anger, it's about something being unjust.
That's right.
So sometimes we need anger. If something's unjust, you need that anger, but it's how you display it, how you use it that makes it effective. I know someone said about emotional intelligence is that, you know, you need to stay calm all the time. Emotional intelligence is about staying calm. I'm like, heavens no, what if you're getting attacked? You need to be able to use some emotions to effectively either get out of there or fight or something.
That's so right.
It's using the emotion, understanding what emotion you're feeling, why you're feeling that, and what's that best outcome.
Yeah. And you what's know? An appropriate so anger, response.
Exactly. So anger can be good. Again, you know, it's going to make me hit the brakes.
That's right.
You know, fear and anger will make me hit the brakes because I want to back off from that situation.
Yeah.
So it does serve a purpose. All emotions do. Yeah.
They all do. And what you said there, it's how we respond. And
exactly.
Oh my God. The first time, because my mom was one of those people, Well, she was Irish. And so she always said, well, I have an Irish temper. So there's nothing. And it's like, no, I'm Irish too. And that doesn't mean.
And guess what? Right.
You don't have to, but she did. Now, my dad, rarely did my dad ever get angry. Rarely. Okay. And there was this one time, God, I was 14 or 15. And we were watching our neighbor's farm. They were on vacation for a couple of weeks and their bull got out. And the bull got friendly with the cow in the next field.
Oh.
And Mr. Miller was the one that owned the cow in the next field, and he wasn't happy about it. So he came over and he was yelling and screaming at my mom and us. My dad wasn't home. He was at work. So it was scary. So then, dad gets home, we're telling him about it. And Mr. Miller comes flying into the driveway again, and he's banging on the back door. But this time it's my dad who answers. And my dad was in construction. He was in the Navy. He was a boxer in the Navy. And most people, yeah. My one childhood friend said, he always reminded me of Clint Eastwood. I'm like, what? But whatever. And so my dad was very upset and he was angry.
Sure. Yeah.
And Mr. Miller started running to his truck, and my dad never raised his voice, never ran, never did anything, but he did manage to catch him at the truck. Mm-hmm. And he said, let's get one thing straight. You will never pull on this property again and raise your voice to my wife and children. And he said, do you understand that? And that's as even as he said it, no right. raised voice. And right. Mr. Miller, all Mr. Miller could do at that point was nod his head. I'm like, I understand.
Like, I got it.
Yeah. I got it. And then my dad said, okay, so I understand we have a problem with the bull that got out. What can we do to fix it?
Right.
And my 14 or 15 year old brain page, I was like, what did I just witness? Because I knew my dad was mad.
Right. Right.
But he didn't fly off the handle.
Right.
It was like, this is the boundary. You don't get to cross it.
Exactly. And what can we do to fix it? Right. Again,
and what can we do to fix it?
Taking those steps. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much what we're talking about here is he needs to be angry because he was protective of his family.
That's
right. And that was a cue to him that says, you know what? I really need to be firm in this situation.
Yep.
You know, I don't need to be smiling. I need to be a bit firm.
Yeah, because this isn't right.
It tells you kind of how you have to be. But again, he was probably very effective in the way that he dealt with it.
Oh.
And if he had been yelling and screaming, they would have been there half an hour going back and forth and nothing would have been accomplished.
That's right. And the
so
result
I love
was,
that's a beautiful story. You know,
it's a great
the result.
Yeah, it was a great illustration. And I think what is I remember it, they went out, they repaired the fence, they got the bull back where he belonged, and there was no issue.
See?
And my dad, like afterwards, he was like, just, okay, let's go. What's for dinner?
Next thing.
Next thing.
He was able to move on from it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like this relates back, Paige, to what you were saying earlier about the, our personal powers when we deal with the emotion and not to let it get too big.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
Because having that personal power is knowing that you can meet life's challenges.
Yeah.
It's having that inner sense of self-confidence and peace.
Yeah.
And that's, it's one of the competencies within emotional intelligence. And that's what it comes back to. It's not letting it get too big. I have confidence. I can work through this. If I can't, mm-hmm. I can learn from it and I can become even better next time.
Yeah.
And it's knowing yourself good enough. And, you really have to work a little bit to know yourself and understand yourself enough. It's not like you can just wake up and have confidence because you want to have confidence, but you don't want to be cocky. A lot of people get arrogant and that's very different. You can have that quiet, calm assertiveness like your dad did.
Yeah.
And that's really, he was using his personal power because he was setting boundaries and saying, I will not allow this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet I'm willing to be, to bridge that gap mm-hmm. and find a way to work through this, but I will not allow you to treat my family or me in this manner. And that's really kind of what that personal power is. But you have to be careful not to let the emotion get too big.
Yeah. Cause then it becomes hard.
Exactly.
It's way harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said that personal power, there's so many good things in there. That personal mm-hmm. power is knowing that you can face any challenge and that's one of the emotional intelligence competencies.
Yes. Within the Institute for Social Emotional Intelligence has a certain model. Different companies, Six Seconds, other companies have different models. But at the end of the day, Bobby, they all speak to the same thing.
Yeah.
To that self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
managing yourself, and social awareness, how you present that to the world and to other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so are there specific tips or strategies that someone can use to really work on their personal power? Or is it the awareness and intention and how we show up?
Well, a lot of it does come to that, but there are certain things that they can do that start to build that personal power. Ooh. And help them with that awareness and help them with the decision-making. So one of the things that they can do is they can look at their strengths. They can sit down and make a little success log. These are things that I'm successful at. These are strengths that I have. Think back to those moments. How were you in those moments? What were your thoughts in those moments? How do you celebrate yourself? So it's looking at those successes and those strengths is one of the ways that you gain that, because you realize that you do have a lot of power. You do have a lot within yourself.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another thing is in setting boundaries, what you will accept and what you won't.
Yeah.
You know, I had that with my first husband. We had some struggles, and not to get into it too much, because I still try to be respectful of him, but he pushed way beyond my boundaries. And at first I was scared and I thought, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I can't, you know, I can't live on my own, whatever, you know, you go through that, you know,
That's right.
But then I reached a point where I thought, you know what though, this is not acceptable to be treated like this. And I deserve better. I have not misbehaved.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to feel guilty for it. Mm-hmm. And one way or the other, I can make it. Because I know I was not meant to stay in this relationship. And he crossed a boundary that is not acceptable to me. And that's, I pushed through that. And it was one of the best times in my life, because I did make it, and I made it on my own.
Yeah.
Because I knew I could, even though I was a little scared, but I pushed through it.
Yeah.
So it's setting those boundaries and not accepting less, saying, you know what? No, I will not let you come through that gate. Like your dad. No, you will not do that. So setting boundaries. And then a third thing you could do, and there's multiple, if people want to contact me or whatever, there's other things you could do. But another thing that I like to remember myself is when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So if I want to spend the morning, let's just say I'm going to spend the morning an extra like 15 minutes in bed, just kind of relaxing. And a friend calls up and wants to go to breakfast. I have a choice to make. I can get up and go with that friend, which would be a good thing, because, you know, that interaction, and if we're, you know, we're good friends, I get energy, positive energy from that. But if I say yes to that, I'm saying no to myself. And is that the best thing for me? Sometimes it could be, you know, and I say, no, unfortunately, this morning is not good, but let's plan for later this week or lunch or whatever. Again, you can be gentle about when you say no. You can acknowledge, oh, wow, you know, I appreciate that you thought of me. That makes me feel so good. But you know what? Unfortunately, I just really can't. So you can still say it in a gentle way. You can still say no in a gentle way. But it could be that I allow the choice to be no to me and say, no, you know what? I did want to kind of lay here. But I think I'm going to benefit by going as well. So I'm going to say no to what I thought would be good for me this morning. And I'm going to say yes to that friend. So it really takes looking at what is best for you, what you want, where you're going to allow those boundaries to be. And what will you say yes to? Because again, that's saying no to something else.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong in it. It's for each person. But you know what though, Bobby, and I bet you know this, and the listeners know this too. When you say no to yourself and it's the wrong thing to do, you feel it.
You feel it.
You start to feel resentment. You start to feel all these emotions because you know that was not the right choice.
You know? And you know it.
Exactly.
And over time, it leads to resentment.
You feel it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is important to recognize that.
Yeah.
And to be able to say no. I know sometimes people, there's people pleasers. Well, I don't want her to be angry with me.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to be angry with yourself.
Someone's going to be angry.
That's even worse. Yeah. And if she's angry with you,
how much
does she really care for you?
That's right.
That she is not allowing you to make the choice that's best for you.
Right. Because it shouldn't be a request.
Nor should she make you feel guilty.
Yep. Because that's not really a friend.
Oh, I really want to go. Well, and I appreciate that, but not this morning.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, you also then kind of have to gauge in your personal power, because you choose who you're around with, and you want to surround yourself with people that lift you up, people that do want to engage with you and share with you, but also understand that there's times that you need to make other choices. And and they have enough personal power themselves that they say that's okay.
Right, right. You know, it's there's so much there. Because when I hear the example of, you know, going out for breakfast with your friend or not, what I'm also hearing, though, once again, it's the awareness. I am making a choice.
Right.
Right. Whatever choice I make is fine, but I'm making a choice and then being intentional with which choice do I want to make.
Right.
You know, and it was, oh my gosh, I taught a class. Oh my goodness. 2003, 2004, something like that. And it was a bunch of entrepreneurs. And there were so many of them, this very topic. It was so hard for them to say, they're like, oh, I can't say no to anybody. And I remember one time, Paige, it's pretty much exactly what you said. And I said, do you know that you're always saying no to someone, right? Or something. Right. If you say yes to someone else, you're saying no to something else.
Right.
And I actually wrote an article that's been published in a few places. It's like tips for saying no gracefully, because people have so much trouble with it. And one of the most powerful things is that when I realized if someone makes a request of me, to frame it as a request, number one, which means I have the option of a number of different things. I can say yes, I can say no, I can say not now. I can say, hey, I can't do this morning, but how about tomorrow? Exactly. You can counter offer. And to your point, if you're dealing with someone who's pure in their intention, it's usually okay. Now, if it's not pure in their intention, that goes to what you said earlier about the boundaries and who are you allowing in? Because that's manipulation.
Exactly. Oh, it is. It definitely is. Right.
Yeah.
And so you need to look at who you have surrounding you.
Yeah. Real quickly too, I want to go back to the boundaries because I know that that was something that took me a while to learn how to set boundaries. And I think it's something that a lot of people find challenging. Do you have any great tips for setting boundaries for people?
I think, again, what you want to look at is what is going to serve you best.
Okay.
Is this person or is this invitation going to serve you best? Is it something that is going to make you grow?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Is it something that's going to make you grow? Is it something? And when I say grow, it could also be that that friend needs someone to talk to or needs an ear and you're serving in that purpose.
Yeah.
So, and in that to a point, you do grow because you're growing your service to humanity. You're growing your service to that friend. So you're still growing in that way. And I think that boundary, one of the first questions is whether or not that is going to be good for you. And again, I know it could be more so good for the other person, but in that, it's good for you that you're able to serve a purpose of listening to them. You know, so I think in looking at those boundaries, you want to look at self, obviously self-preservation, you know, one of the first things, your physical, you know, physical boundaries there, you know, in personal space, those kind of things. But then the next thing is your mental boundary.
Yeah.
You know, and your emotional boundary. Is somebody going to start to or try to manipulate you emotionally, you know? So if you think of boundaries almost, you know, kind of, and I'm thinking about with your dad, think of it like a fence.
Yeah.
Do you want them past that fence? Is that going to be good for you if they come past that fence? And again, I also say you want to be empathetic to others,
right?
But not at a cost to you, because then you're not serving them well either.
That's right. And you're depleting yourself.
Exactly. Right.
Because I like to help others.
Okay.
So what I found over the years is I almost had a knee-jerk response. Anytime someone said, hey, can you help out? Oh yeah, sure. Without even thinking about it. And then over time, it's like, well, wait a minute, what about the stuff I wanted to do or other things that were important?
Right.
And so I kind of came up with this little operating process for myself where I would hear the request.
Right.
And even if I thought this is going to be a yes, I would say, you know what, let me think about that for a little bit, even an hour. Let me make sure that's going to work. Right.
Yeah.
Something to, so that I would have the time to do what you're saying, you know, thinking about it in terms of, does this work, you know, or not?
Right.
And so that way I wasn't
for
just,
yourself.
You know,
right.
That's right. And that way I wasn't just, you know, reacting in the moment and not being intentional with it. So
yeah,
I think that's really helpful.
And there's things you can say, you know, you can say, oh, you know what, let me check my schedule, or, you know, hopefully it's not an immediate need. You can say, you know what, let me check my schedule, or, you know, actually, I'm in the middle of one thing. Let me call you back in like 2 minutes. You know, even just to get that pause, as we talk about, that that moment where you look at, you know, because again, too, you're probably very emotional.
Yep.
Meaning, and when I say emotional, I don't mean, you know, a lot of people think meaning upset, and I don't mean that, but there's emotions going through you. Either you're excited, maybe you're excited. Well, that's a little clue that, oh, you know, this is probably going to be a good thing. I'm happy about that.
Yep.
Or maybe you're empathetic and say, you know what, she really needs someone and I want to be able to be there for her. Or, you know, oh gosh, here we go again. Well, if you're feeling that way, first of all, it's not going to be good for you to be in that environment. And second of all, you're not going to be serving best.
That's right.
So looking at that, yeah.
Yeah. I love
that. It's okay to set boundaries. And quite frankly, you are not, if you don't set boundaries, you're not being fair and respectful to that other person because you're not trusting them.
That's right.
Enough to be honest with them.
Yeah.
So it's not kind. So it's almost, you know, you think, well, I don't want to, you know, set boundaries because that's not being kind to the other person. Well, you're actually not being kind if you don't.
Because then, yeah, especially if you're feeling resentful because you're not taking a step to set the boundary, you're setting the other person up to fail.
Exactly. Right. And so that's not kind to either. And that's where I say you're not serving your best.
No.
You know, so it's really kind of the looking at those type of things. And again, hopefully some people got some tips out of that and are kind of going through their mind saying, maybe I need to set a boundary with this person, or when this situation comes up, I need to think of a better way, maybe, like you say, a graceful way, a kind way to say, you know what, I really appreciate that and that you thought of me, but unfortunately, just right now, it's not going to work. Maybe, you know, next week or, you know.
Yeah.
Or just don't even say that. Just say, unfortunately, it's not going to work for me and just don't go there anymore.
And that's okay. That's a complete sentence. No.
Exactly.
No is a complete sentence.
Right. Exactly.
So real quick, I want to mention this and then I want to give you a chance to share, you know, where people can find out more about what you're doing.
Okay.
Rick and I read a book. It was on Native American wisdom, spiritual wisdom. And now I don't remember the name of the book. It was several years ago. And they talked about on your spiritual path, one of the things you have to learn is how you need to be able to set boundaries. Because otherwise you're holding yourself back. And I thought, wow, that was really interesting. So I know isn't it? So I know you've got a lot going on. You've got a nonprofit, you've got some offers, you know, new things happening. So tell us a little bit about what's going on and how people can, you know, learn more, find you and connect with you.
Okay, definitely. I will. And thank you again, Bobby. This has been amazing. And I could probably go on and on about this stuff, and you and I could have, you know, be in for at least a 2-hour podcast, I'm sure.
It'd
so
be
I
easy.
Appreciate it. Right. But yeah, so I do have a nonprofit. It's called the Flutter Foundation. And we promote and support social and emotional learning for Connecticut youth. I happen to live in Connecticut. So we do for Connecticut youth. You know, a lot of people don't realize some of the social emotional learning programs out there. It is becoming more so in the forefront, which is amazing. But we support that effort. You know, if somebody needs funding for it, we get some of the funding for that and help subsidize it. So that's just like our little piece of trying to help of youth. And it came about the title from the Butterfly Effect. Because if we can help one child have a better emotional future, you never know the difference that child will make.
Yeah.
So hopefully people, as they're going along in their day and they're dealing with people, you know, think about the interactions that you have with them, because you never know that one little thing that you could say that could make a difference to that person. So yeah, so that's the nonprofit and I'm proud of that. And I also run my own coaching business, BYO Destiny, which stands for Bring Your Own Destiny.
I love that.
I believe, thank you. I believe everybody has a purpose, a destiny. You know, everybody has a meaning on this planet. And so I kind of help you find that, your inner self. And I do that through emotional intelligence. One of the programs that I have that's pretty popular is the Emotional Self-Care Program. You know, we talk a lot about self-care and it is almost 360, but a lot of it doesn't really delve into the emotions and how you can create better emotions, more positive emotions, and really calm your inner self in order to make those choices. So that's one of the programs I have is the Emotional Self-Care Program. And then, you know, I have toward the summer and fall, I have a couple of online courses coming out.
Nice.
I also am, for 6 seconds, I'm the Global Pop-Up Festival Mentor Coordinator. And pop-up festivals are activities around emotional intelligence. It's free. You can sign up and you get the activities. It's a website. You get them for free. you know, materials you would have to buy yourself, et cetera. But we have probably about 55 or 60 activities. We have, I think, 34 or 35 languages now. They're done in over 200 countries around the world.
Wow.
And if someone wanted to sign up for it and they did not know exactly how to put it together, or they were curious how to pick the activities, et cetera, then they would contact me, and we have mentors all around the world, and I help coordinate and match them up with that mentor. And it really is built around World Children's Day, which is November 20th. So that's really kind of when the bulk of these festivals are done.
Wow.
So I do guest facilitation on emotional intelligence for the Institute for Social Emotional Intelligence. So I think one of my purposes is to spread emotional wellness around. And I do my best, Bobby.
I love it. You're doing so much good stuff, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I love that. And so if someone wanted to reach out to you, is there a best social media that they can reach out to you through, or just an email, or?
They can certainly pop me an email. I am on BYO Destiny. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Paige Dest on LinkedIn, but they can email me at Paige, P-A-I-G-E, at BYODestiny.com.
Perfect. And I'll put all that in the show notes.
Okay, wonderful.
Thank you so much for being... I knew this was going to be a great conversation, you know, when we scheduled
as well.
It. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Definitely. And again, thank you for the honor. You do great work, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Ah, thank you, Paige.
Thank you.
I hope that you had a lot of takeaways from that conversation. It was tough to limit this to only three, but here are my three key insights for thriving. Number one, when we own our personal power, we can face any challenge. To really own our personal power, Paige suggests starting a success log, identifying your strengths, and thinking about how you have shown up in the different challenges in your life. Insight number two, naming the emotion slows it down. I really loved her road rage example. By naming the emotion, I'm angry that the person cut me off, or put me in danger, or I'm scared when something like that happens, it slows the emotion down so that we are not merely reacting, but we're also thinking and then choosing our response. And finally, insight number three, you are always saying no to something or to someone. Are you being intentional with who and what you're saying no to? And by the way, if saying no is challenging for you, please check out the link below in the show notes to go to an article that I wrote on tips for saying no gracefully. That wraps up today's episode. I hope that you found a lot of value in it. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so already, if you'd leave us a review and rating on Apple, it really helps more people find the podcast. I hope that you have an absolutely amazing week, and make sure that you thrive no matter what.